Hi, this is Hallie Kasserjane, and you are listening to The Hallie Kasserjane Show, available at HallieKasserjane.com. The Hallie Kasserjane Show is supported by the following. Welcome to The Hallie Kasserjane Show. I am Hallie Kasserjane. Let's talk. Zuzu Bailey, in the quintessential Christmas flick, It's a Wonderful Life, tells George Bailey, played by the iconic Jimmy Stewart, "Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings." Ring those bells. 'Tis the season of angels on the Hallie Kasserjane Show, when we talk to two experts on angels, New York Times bestselling author of The Book of Angels, the delightful Sophie Burnham, and with the insightful Belinda J. Womack, author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels. But before we begin, the Hallie Kasserjane Show is always available online at HallieKasserjane.com. Sophie Burnham is an award-winning playwright, novelist, and nonfiction writer. Three of her books have appeared in the New York Times and other bestseller lists. Her works have been translated into 24 languages, and her articles and essays have been published in Esquire, New York, the New York Times Magazine, Town & Country, Reader's Digest, and many other magazines. She's been featured on such television shows as The Oprah Winfrey Show, Larry King Live, Today, and Good Morning America. But it is her wonderful A Book of Angels, Reflections on Angels Past and Present and True Stories of How They Touch Our Lives, that put Sophie on the map. Sophie, the name actually means wisdom, and wise Sophie is, and one of the few go-to persons on the subject of angels. Let's talk. Okay, so Sophie, let's begin with this. How in the world did you get involved with all of this? This is such fascinating stuff to me. What got you going on the subject of angels? And there's this personal story that's a great story. Share it, if you will, with the audience. It is. It's a great story.
Okay, I have to go back a bit and say that as a child, I felt very connected to the earth and to all of the invisible spirits that surround us. And then I got to be in college, where your brain starts developing its logical analysis. And I lost my faith. And then I went on a long hunt of thinking, oh, is this all? Is this all? The material world is all. And in the course of that, I had many, many experiences, mostly that I denied. One was having my life saved by an angel. One was seeing ghosts. I mean, many ghosts. And then finally, when I was 42, and oddly enough, my whole life long, I'd known that something wonderful would happen at 42. At 42, I had a gigantic mystical revelation. I was on Machu Picchu at the time. And after that, I had healing hands. I could see energy. I was intensely psychic. I knew who was on the phone talking. And everything came together. And I had the feeling, the impression, the illusion, let me say, of understanding something of this mystery that we live in and this gift of intuition that we all have, or of the angels that surround us all the time. So I see angels sometimes. I don't at all, just like normal people. I rely deeply on my intuition, which I consider the voice of angels. Does that answer your question?
I think it does. And I think what's extraordinary, your whole life just changed exponentially after that. And I think that's always amazing, particularly at that point in your life. I want to take this out to this. People think that they understand what angels are. I want you to define in your terms, what is an angel?
Okay. First of all, an angel is an expression of God. It is formed of light. When you see an angel, you are seeing a kind of shimmering, glorious colors. I cannot express how beautiful they are. Very different from seeing the spirit of someone who has passed on, a ghost or a spirit. They're not that at all. They are formed of thought also. everyone is born with two or three angels who come with them through their entire lives. There are three ways that you know that you have been in touch with an angel, and everyone agrees on these three. First, they come as warmth and light, of course, comfort. They're always saying the same thing. They're always saying, don't worry, we're taking care of it. They're never saying, what a mess you've made of this now. How dare you? They're never scold. There is only unbearable, unfathomable love. And when you see an angel, you feel this surround you in ways that are inexpressible. The third way is that you can't forget. You might think, I don't even believe in God. This can't have happened. What is going on? I deny the whole thing. But you can't forget this experience that you had. And unlike a dream, unlike normal memories, it becomes clearer as time passes instead of fading away. And that's really remarkable. Now, I'm not saying that you will see an angel with your own eyes. You see it with your spiritual eyes, and usually they do not wish to be seen. So they will do their work invisibly, anonymously. Sometimes they come as a dog. They will come. I have wonderful stories of dogs, angels. They come, they do their work, they vanish. The dog comes, it saves your life, it vanishes, it is never seen again. They come as dreams, as the tap of intuition on your shoulder that says, go here, don't go there, or says, stop. Sometimes I have stories of people who have felt a hand on their chest to say, stop. A physical, forceful hand, stop, on their chest, and it saves them from stepping in front of the car or falling down a flight of stairs.
So let me go here with you. So the word angel means messenger, right?
The word angel means messenger.
Exactly. And that is it? That's their role, to be the messenger?
Their role is to be the medium between the spiritual world and the material world. They are a messenger, but they're also doing work beyond sending a message. If they're saying stop, it might be considered a message, of course. But sometimes, as with me, I mean, he actually saved my life from falling off a cliff. He appeared in the form of a man, did his work, vanished, and was gone, never seen again.
Okay.
But when I looked at him in this, and he had taken the form of a human, the form of a man, his eyes were pools of love. I cannot tell you. I have spent the rest of my life looking for that kind of love and of knowing at that moment how deeply, deeply I was cared for. And that is not just for me, it's for everyone. It's for you and every listener that you have out there. If we only knew how precious we are, how treasured.
So listen to me.
Something else I was going to say.
Okay, what was that?
That is this. Why do they come sometimes and not others? Do the people in Aleppo have angels as they're being bombed? Why is a woman raped? And this is the mystery that we do not know. I cannot answer that. But I am sure that all of those people who are suffering the Syrian war at this moment, or some war in the Congo or Sudan, I am sure that every one of them has angels caring and comforting for them.
You know, I want to say this to you on that, because I feel like I need to respond to that, because one of the things that crosses my mind a lot is that we tend to think of ourselves. And yet I think there is a collective consciousness as well. And what happens to the group sometimes can affect even the individual and vice versa. So that the answer to that question, that horror in Aleppo, oh my gosh, you can only think it's part of the larger plan. It has to be. There is no other reason, right, that you can...
Absolutely has to be.
Right.
And we are called, we poor pathetic humans are called to do something about this. We're called to say, no, this is wrong.
Right.
We are called to become angels ourselves and to say we cannot put up with this. So that's what the angels are teaching us, to, as the animals are too, compassion, which means to suffer with, to feel for, to do something about injustice. The world is getting to be a better place. I wrote a novel about medieval France called The Treasure of Monségur. And I will tell you that after investigating what it was like to live in the Middle Ages, in the 1200s, 1300s in Europe, you are grateful to live in this century. We have made huge progress, even as we see desperately awful things happening around us. So I just wanted to add that to your thing. Yes, there is a larger plan, and it is leading us to become better humans.
I want to talk to you about religion and spirituality, religion versus spirituality. The subject of angels is very interesting to me. When we were talking to people and saying we were going to do the show on this, you know, you got rolls of the eyes on the one hand and, oh my gosh, religion. And then you got, that's a spiritual thing. Can you pull that together and talk? Because I don't think you have to be religious I know you don't have to be religious to go into that realm. And spirituality is something very special in and of its own right. Different maybe than religion, organized religion.
Your definition. I think you're completely right about that definition. Religion is the formal way in which we try to make a connection with each other in community and with God. But it always begins with being spiritual. People who are spiritual will tend to go to church, I suppose, or they will decide not to because that doesn't appeal to them. But the religion always begins with someone who had a vast mystical experience, saw into the divine, came back and started a religion. And we can think of Muhammad or George Fox, who was the Quaker Methodist, and St. Peter, St. Paul. They all have these mystical encounters, create a religion in an effort to tell others how to get it. Well, it doesn't work. You know, the religion is useful for community prayer. I don't put it down at all. It's useful for drawing people together to do social justice work and help the homeless and the helpless, because you can't do that all by yourself. We must be in community. But it is not the same as spirituality. And everybody is spiritual.
Given that, right.
Except atheists who think they're not.
But given that, I have this question. Why are some people able to see their angels, feel their angels, experience their angels, and other people, no matter what they seem to do, can't? And then others just, it's like, what are you talking about? What's going on there?
Oh, you ask such deep questions. Okay, first of all, the people who can see the angels have the innocence of a child. There's a sense of wonder and awe. And you meet people like this and realize that they have very clear energy fields. You want to be in their presence. The ones who do not, I think it has to do with the brain. Some people are so intellectual, are so brilliant, intellectually, logically, analytically, critically, they have such exquisite critical judgment that they cannot get out of the left hemisphere of the brain and into the creative, intuitive, spiritual side, as it were. And so they simply cannot see it. And then there are other people who experience it all the time, but it doesn't work into their definition of how things are supposed to work. And therefore, they just deny the very thing that happened to them. I have experience of that. I go back to the angel that kept me from falling off a cliff. At the time, I did not believe in God. I had had this experience, and I said, whoa, this just simply couldn't happen. It doesn't fit into my perception of how the world works. And it took about 10 years of many other experiences before I said, that was real. That was real and it meant something. And I am being called to do something, tell about it, but write about it.
Here's something that I find fascinating, and that is fear.
Fear.
Fear. Because I think that a lot of people would love to open themselves up to alternative experiences, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it, or, you know, just to opening themselves up to contacting their angels. And they don't, because the thing that stops them is fear, which, by the way, probably stops them in their life in general. What do you say about that?
I think you're dead on. But I think a lot of the time it's just that we aren't aware of it. I have a story of a friend of mine who read my book, A Book of Angels. And in that it says, if you want to see your angels, ask. which is another word for pray. Maybe you don't believe in God, universe, spirit, whatever it is out there, whatever that mystery is, show me. If I have an angel, I want to see it. And she sat and prayed and prayed and prayed for a while, and nothing happened at all. Very disappointed. She took the dogs for a walk in the woods behind her house. And who did she see coming along but her husband's uncle, who always was the word leapt on her. You know, he crossed his boundaries with her.
Mm-hmm.
He was horrified at the idea that they would be alone in the woods and he would come on to her and she would be unable to protect herself. To her surprise, he turned off and went an opposite direction, although he had seen her clearly. That night, there was a birthday party and she was over at the house where the uncle was also present at this birthday. And he came over to her and he said, "Who was that man you were walking with?" She said, "What man?" "In the woods when you were walking your dogs. You had this huge man walking beside you. He must have been 6'6". Who was it?" And she thought, "Ah, my angels were there all the time and I didn't see it." It's fascinating.
Here's another thing I wanted to go with you. And that is, how do we know, assuming that we do feel, see, whatever, perceive a presence, that it's not just our imagination? Do you go back to those three things that you said make it a different experience? How can you tell people to go there? Just go there and experience it, and you will know it's not your imagination? Is there a something? I don't know.
It's such a good question. You have to test it. I tell people, don't just believe me, believe your own experience. And did it come with light and love and warmth and comfort and joy? We're not promised that nothing bad will happen. We're promised that we're not alone. Did it offer words of wisdom? Could you forget it afterwards and say that it was your imagination and actually dismiss it so that it never comes up again? I think that frequently we have to test it again and again and again. It's like intuition. You don't know that your intuition is dead on right until you have spent a couple of decades making mistakes. I knew I shouldn't have gone down that road and I didn't listen. And once you have not listened a few times, and once you have learned the signals of intuition, whether it's the hair rising on your arms or your gut twisting in a particular way, or just a little feeling, I have a gut feeling, then you start to trust your intuition. And it's the same with the spiritual dimension. Can I tell a story? Do I have time another story?
Yeah, please.
This happened to a woman who was the daughter of a general, and he was posted in Alabama in one of those enormous, many acre, hundreds of acres of forest that the military have on their camps. And this young woman, who was 16 or 17 at the time, went to a dance, and coming home from the dance, walking home alone, she was kidnapped by three soldiers. They took her out into the woods. This is a very ugly story. They took her out into the woods and they, I don't know how to say it on the radio. Turn your radio off if this is too awful, but they raped and abused her very badly. And then they ran over her in the car several times so that she would be killed. It happened that it had rained the night before, and she, instead of dying, she slid into the mud when the car rolled over her. It was then 2:00 in the morning and she was alive, but they had gone away. A man who lived about a mile away woke up in the middle of the night and had a sudden urge to go night fishing, something he had never done in his life. He got his gear together and he walked off through the woods and he came across this girl just about the time that the car had left. He covered her with a coat. He went off to find some help, telling her, hang on, I have to go telephone for help. And he walked about a mile down the road and found a telephone booth, and he made a call to an ambulance. The ambulance was a good 45 minutes away, but he gave the directions. Actually, I have just forgotten something. It wasn't he who found the telephone booth. He told a motorcyclist who was coming along at that time to find the telephone booth. The motorcyclist called the ambulance, which was 45 minutes away. He went back, the fisherman went back to the girl to hold her in his arms. The ambulance arrived almost instantaneously, and she was taken off to the hospital, and she lived, though she had many broken bones. But what was remarkable was the telephone from where the call was made was not in order. It was not in working order, but somehow a call had gone through. The ambulance was miles and miles away, but somebody had made a crank call to them and sent an ambulance out there. Now, those are all the experiences of angels, but not a single angel occurred. You know, you didn't see it. Wow. But can you believe that you were being cared for? The surgeon's hand is guided as he works on you. The girl told me this story at a talk that I was giving, and she told her story for the first time. We were all of us in tears because it was so extraordinary. And she was then about 35, and she had never told anyone the story of what had happened to her at 17 or 18.
So we can put the word miracle in this conversation easily, I think.
I do.
Yeah.
Put it in there easily. But the whole world to me is a miracle, Hallie. Mm. I look out at the snow and it's a miracle. Everything I look at, I have gotten to be an old woman now. And I am stunned at how beautiful it is and how miraculous this world is. And I have to believe that we're taken care of even when I think we're not. I have to be very careful not to listen to too much of the news. It's extremely important not to get too caught up on the horrors of the day. What you were saying, there's a higher purpose.
Yeah. I wish I could do what you do. Unfortunately, my world doesn't allow me to do that. Listen, I'm not going to be cute here, but I have to ask you this. I'm wondering if humans have the capability of calling up their angels at will, but it's a muscle we simply don't use but can be trained to use, or can angels only come to us because they need to get to us, which is...
What a great idea. All right, once I was communing with my angels, as it were, with automatic writing, and I asked a question, and they said, pray. And I thought about that for a moment, and I said, why should I pray? You know what I want. What's the point? And the answer came back the way you see a painting all at once, but it was in three sections. And first was, pray so that we will know what you want in order that we may bring you what you need. Big difference. Second was, because when you pray for maybe 15 seconds, of your demanding and asking and calling and thinking about it, for about 15 seconds of your prayer, you might let go enough to allow a window to open that we can come through and deliver the desires of your heart. The third one was what you just said, because we need the energy of your prayers and thoughts in order to do our work of taking care of you. And I have thought of that a lot. I ask for help all the time. I am not the least bit afraid to say, help, help. God, I can't do this. Help. I don't even know what God is. But I know that there's something out there, the great mystery, and that I'm a part of it, and that it loves more than I can imagine, cavalries of angels at our disposal. But I have to say help sometimes, and it helps them to come, if I can let go, if I can have the innocence of a child and the faith of a dog and say, you'll take care of me. And then it helps.
So let me go here with you then. I think that this is a fair question. How can we drive them away? We don't want to, but what do we do that we will drive them away, that we shouldn't be driving them away?
We do drive them away. Anger will drive them away like a wind. They're like seagulls who can't fly. You know, they're just swept away by our anger. Fear they can handle. Love will draw them to you. But anger, hatred, violence, no, I don't mean violence because they can come in. Hatred, I think, and anger and self-righteousness and self-egotistical disciplines will block them. Like to come through, but I think they can't get through those, what I call the negative emotions.
I was going to say that would be advice to people, therefore, that if you want to connect and you're not connecting, something that you can do is work on yourself, on the negatives of yourself, which will take down the walls that keep you separate from that spiritual realm that's out there for you to participate in. What do you say to people who say, I've never encountered an angel, there must be something wrong with me?
Well, I say that, first of all, there's nothing wrong with you, but let's look deeper. I gave a talk in Russia once about a book of angels, and I was giving exercises and workshops, which I have done all over the world right now, and this one girl said exactly that. She'd grown up under Stalin and had an utterly miserable life. And in the course of one meditation, she came up to me and she said, I remembered a moment when I was a child, and she described this moment in the birch trees by a lake when she had known. And she remembered, but it had been closed to her until then. There are certain things you can do. You can meditate. You can go into silence. You can ask. You can take classes. You can read my books, not only A Book of Angels, but The Art of Intuition or some of the novels, The President's Angel, for example, and you'll remember. I think that everyone has had these moments, and then we forget. Or it doesn't conform to our cultural conditioning. We've been called stupid too many times. And what you said about fear is correct. Anger is only another word for fear. So is self-righteousness. So is ego. It's all fear, jealousy, worry, anxiety. Those things are only fear in another incarnation.
So, Sophie, to people who say to you, what a bunch of poppycock, you say what?
I say that it's not my place to convert you. It's not my place to force upon you any concept that you're not comfortable with. But I can tell you my own experience and the experience of other people. And it's an experience of deep, deep love that we human beings are incredibly cared for and cared about. And that we do have spiritual companions. They came with us when we decided to be born. They accompany us all our lives. They can call down more cavalries, legions of angels to help in times of trouble. I say that there is no death. We keep on going. And some people in the other dimension are also working for us here. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your special friends. They are different from angels, and if you ever see a ghost, it is very different from an angel. But there is a spiritual dimension that we live in, the way fish live in water. The physicists know it. These physicists have determined that there are 12 dimensions. They determine that there is matter and antimatter. And we simply say, oh, really? I'll believe that. Okay. I'll tell you, it's easier to believe in the spiritual dimension than it is in matter and antimatter.
I've been speaking with Sophie Burnham, author of The Iconic, A Book of Angels, and many more books, including The Art of Intuition. Be sure to visit Sophie's website at sophieburnham.com or amazon.com. And if you would like an autographed copy of A Book of Angels, you may contact Sophie via her website, Twitter, or Facebook at Sophie Burnham. You are listening to The Hallie Kester Jane Show. My guest today are Sophie Burnham, the author of the New York Times bestseller, A Book of Angels, and Belinda Womack, author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. And we are back, and you are listening to the Hallie Kester Jane Show, where today we're all about angels. Thanks so much for tuning in. Belinda Womack bills herself as a spiritual messenger, but also an intuitive problem solver, counselor, inventor, teacher, dream interpreter, healing facilitator, author, and human being. Good to know. She's been channeling angelic wisdom to support individuals, couples, and families for 25 years, and is the creator of the 12 Archangels University, an online change your everyday reality to heaven on earth education platform. A scientist by training, she holds dual master's degrees in microbiology and environmental science. As well, she is the author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. Let's talk.
Okay, kiddo, listen to me. From microbiologist, environmental scientist, to spiritual messenger, that's a heck of a leap. Great career change. How did it happen? Tell us how it happened.
So, Hallie, this is you know, 25 years ago now, but I was working as a research biologist and loving my job, and I had what I call my out-of-laboratory experience, where I was working on a bone marrow sample, and I found myself in a stone room that was round, and a golden light streaming in, and a beautiful angel named Gabriel looking at me. And the archangel spoke to me telepathically and said, "Belinda, your work is going to change. We're calling you to help humanity to remember that they are God's divine children. They have forgotten this." And I said, "I think you've called the wrong person. That sounds like I need a degree in psychology. I'm a biologist. You know, I'm very confused. I don't know where I am." And so the angel just said, "You know, you can try and resist us, but we will convince you. And you just need to know how to love." And so I thought I was away from the laboratory for a very long time. Clearly, I had not gone anywhere. It was an experience that's kind of hard to describe, because it sure felt like I was in a different world and a different time. But when I was back in the lab with my awareness, I looked at my watch. No time had passed. I thought I had disappeared for at least several hours. And that is how it all began. And I remember that my body was vibrating, and I was just so surprised and in shock. You know, what does this mean? But they are my good friends now, these beautiful archangels.
Were you scared? And
terrified.
I'm glad you said that, because I would have been shaking in my boots going, "What the heck is going on here?" Right?
I definitely was shaking in my boots, because I didn't understand at that time. Now, of course, I understand, you know, what had happened, because I really felt tangibly that I was in a different reality. I could feel the dirt on the floor. I could smell the ancientness in the walls of the stone walls around me. So I was so confused and disoriented. And then to be told, you know, "I'm going to work with angels." Well, what on earth literally does that mean? And what does it look like? And it took me a while to figure that out, with a lot of instruction and help on their part.
Talk to me about this 12 archangels, and begin with this. What's an archangel? All right.
So according to the 12 archangels, their number is symbolic. It represents evolution, just like we have 12 months to the calendar year and 12 signs in the zodiac. We are always evolving, we human beings, in our consciousness. And so this is why they talk about the number 12. It's numbers are very symbolic, and they're very powerful, and they help us. Their role is to help us to move forward. Now, the archangels say that there is no hierarchy of angels. That is from a human perspective. They may have different job assignments, but they are all loving and all powerful. And so the arc in archangel, the way they describe it, is it's like a bridge. And what they help us to do is bridge our ego to our heart. You know, our ego, our human personality, and connect that with our soul. They help us to create a bridge between heaven, where there is no fear, there is only love, and earth, where we get to experience fear.
Why do we get to experience fear? What's the deal there?
Well, this is a school. It's a very, very special school. And believe it or not, according to the archangels, you know, we stand in line to be able to come to this school, because it is very significant and important, because the purpose of the School of Earth is that souls get to learn the value of love. And if we don't experience the opposite of it, which is fear, or another way to look at it is that love is oneness. It is unity with our Creator. It's complete and total integration with God. And the opposite of that is separation. You know, that's where we can believe that God is an old man with a bad temper that lives far, far, far away in another galaxy, but he has a microscope and he's watching us, and he's looking to see what we're doing wrong. So you know, when we understand that we are here to learn, hey, love is a power. It's far, far greater than fear, and it's an energy. And as we learn, to experience that and to bring ego home to our heart, we help not only every other human being to wake up that love is a far happier choice than fear, we actually lift and help the entire universe of our Creator to evolve in consciousness with us. So it's a very, very important school.
So talk to me about this. You say in this wonderful book of yours, and it is, and everybody should pick it up. It's a great book to give for Christmas, by the way, I think, or Hanukkah, or whatever is your celebration. 12 archangels. Okay, great. You say that each of us has the ability to communicate with the angels if we open our minds to their teachings. But here's my question. Why have so many of us closed our minds to their teachings? Do you have an answer?
Well, we close our minds because we're afraid, you know, and because we get indoctrinated to believe that our Creator, Mother, Father, God, Divine Source, God has so many names, that is an intimidating force. And so when this is the way the angels put it, Hallie, it's that when you become too grown up, that's when you forget that angels are real. You know, when I have the blessing to work with little children, and I ask them to close their eyes, and we just do a very, like, 10-second meditation, they connect with their angels so fast. They can rattle off their names. They can tell me what they look like. And if I need to, I can kind of check up on them because I'm clairvoyant. And sure enough, I mean, they've always got their angels right there with them. But as they grow up and as they become more focused on their ego and peer pressure and trying to be in control of everything that's happening, well, they can forget about their angels. And it's not that they're not still there. They're always there. So the 12 archangels teach, you know, if you want to connect with your angels, it really is to come as a little child. And to connect, the little child is just symbolic for the heart. That it is a way, it creates a doorway for us to open that consciousness of our heart center, to open to what's called the superconscious, where angels live and our loved ones in heaven live. And you have some loved ones waving at you as I said that, blowing you kisses. It looks like, is mom there?
Mom is there.
Yeah, mom is blowing you kisses and sending you hugs. Oh my goodness, she's going to make me cry, so forgive me. She just is really wanting you to know that she is so grateful for you and for all of the work that you do. Apparently, you have a very positive reputation in heaven, and they are very grateful to you for your service. So this, again, is a way that, Hallie, that any of us can connect is, you know, we have to remember what it's like to be a child and to be trusting and have that mind open. So
the Peter Pan principle, I'm a firm believer in it. I won't grow up. So here's the thing that I did want to speak to you about, that in this whole realm of speaking to our angels, to connecting to our angels, one of the things that is interesting is that we tend to do it in unhappiness. And I want you to talk to me about reaching to them in happiness.
Sure.
It shouldn't be the negative that takes us into the spiritual. It should be a combination of all, correct?
Well, my dear, they don't have any judgments whatsoever. They say just show up.
Sure.
You know, they get so excited when we knock at that door. And again, our angels, our guides, our helpers in heaven are surrounding us. They are helping us all the time. But when we take that ego, which is a small part in our brain, and we open it and we focus our intention on connecting with that higher vibration of heaven where there is only love, we actually lift our entire vessels. We lift our whole subconscious up out of the depths of despair. And we shift the vibration, meaning we can actually shift our mood. We can be in a very bad, sad mood, and we can shift that in just a very, very short time by just saying, angels, helpers in heaven, help me. So they say that it's perfectly fine. They ask us to think of ourselves like little children. Lots of times, if everything is going perfectly, you know, wonderful, we don't think to reach out to our parents and say, hey, you know, can you help me? I fell down. So it is in those times of despair that the human ego or personality is more vulnerable, more willing to surrender that control of its kind of illusionary omnipotence and say, oh, maybe there's help for me. But of course, joy and happiness are, and gratitude is totally the attitude that helps us connect with heaven.
Something that you do that I love, and why I like this book so much, is because you've taken this a step further than a lot of the people that I've spoken to on the subject of angels, and that is that you understand and have come up with a way to illuminate yourself through help with the angels. And I love that. Of course, you believe that we have to clear up the past, our childhoods, if there were problems there. And maybe you can say it better than I do, but I want to take it out to this, and you can encompass all of this in how you reply, that the obstacles or heartaches we're experiencing in our lives today are connected, as you say, to the situation in our past, you know, which could be our childhoods or other lives. That would indicate suffering. For me, Belinda, suffering and angels, you know, maybe I keep going back to that, but that's something that I have a hard time with. Because to me, they're so beautiful and they're so wonderful and they're so giving, and their presence can be, because I've experienced saving, pure love, pure joy. Maybe we should talk about healing.
So, my dear, angels, of course, are all about healing. And what they ask us to remember is that we human beings, we create like our creator. And we do that with our thoughts and our feelings. But we don't always understand that our thoughts and our feelings are not always at the vibration of love. So when we're thinking at that vibration, then we really do manifest heaven in our everyday lives. That means abundance, good health, wonderful relationships, ease and flow. But, you know, we do experience fear here, and fear is what causes us to suffer and to experience lack and to experience illness and to experience separation, which then shows up as even hatred and self-rejection and rejection of others and even violence. So what they recommend is that they say you need to understand how very big you are and how very deep you go. So even though on a conscious level we can focus on that love and joy, and that's the vibration where angels live, you're absolutely correct. But we have this wonderful part of us called the subconscious, which controls and directs and motivates up to 90% or greater of how we not only make our decisions, but also what we create in our lives. And so that subconscious is the same as the past. And what the 12 archangels teach us, and lessons from the 12 archangels in their book, is how to work with love as a healing power and how to bring it into the subconscious in very simple and joyful ways so that we transform. They like to describe us as a vessel, or, you know, think of yourself as a drinking glass, a good 16-ounce tall glass of water. And if that's filled with sludge, even if the top part is clear and beautiful, well, that sludge gets in the way, because that's where we need to bring the love. Because if we don't bring the love deep down into the bottom of that glass, we will still experience the creation of suffering or lack in our lives. Plus, here's the big wonderful bonus. If we'll bring love into that sludge and we clear it all up just with love, it's a power. And they teach us how to do that with our chakras, our batteries of spiritual energy, by just visualizing God's rainbow of colors. And we clear that all up. Not only do we shift things in our lives so that we experience far greater joy and happiness. But because we're all connected, we are all connected, we help to shift the reality for all concern, for everyone. So that's why they say, you know, we don't want you to stay in your suffering, but we don't want you to be in denial of it, because that doesn't help. That doesn't help denial. Just bring some love in there. And they offer such easy visualizations to help us to do that. And we feel it and we experience it.
So let me go here with you about that suffering. So to fix our suffering, is it the angels that will do it if we ask? Or, and this I think is important, is there homework we need to do individually within ourselves? How do angels help?
So, Hallie, of course, we are the students, so they won't do our homework for us. Our homework is to bring love where love has been missing. It is to find the fear within us and to work with the power of love and transform that fear back into love. However, our angels, our higher self, which is our soul, the part of our soul that always stays in heaven, together with those ascended masters, which are just teachers and many other helpers that we have, they actually help lighten the load of that homework tremendously. We're only asked to do the parts that will shift us the most. So you can kind of think of this as, let's say you've been in algebra class for a whole semester, and it's time to take the final exam. Angels are like the tutor that's sitting right next to you, and they help your brain to see that equation, see that X and Y, this, move this around over here, divide this, and see, you're going to get the right answer. That's how awesome they are.
Do you have to believe to be touched by an angel?
Absolutely not. They help us whether we believe or whether we don't believe. And it just makes it more fun, according to them. And when we believe, then our ego, again, our personality, you know, it experiences the aha, it experiences the miracle, it experiences the unseen becoming seen in our hearts, and we get to feel that. And that's incredibly helpful to us human beings, because our brains have been wired that if we don't see it and can't hold it and control it, maybe it's not real. So when we shift out of that and we start to open to those more subtle energies, especially even to our own feelings, and we get to really start to touch those angels as they are touching us and those loved ones who are in heaven, which is just a vibration away. It's not a place that's far away. It's just a vibration away. Then we really awaken. And we shift on so many different levels. But we all have angels helping us. No matter what, they're there.
So for those who might have never been in touch with their angel or angels, and maybe don't even have a clue as to how to get in touch with them, how do they begin? Just quickly. I don't have a lot of time on this one, but give me a clue. Give them a clue as to how they might start.
Ask for evidence that they exist in your daily life. Say, okay, angels, I really could, if you're real, can you help me with this headache that I've got? Can you help me get this parking space I need? It helps to start off with something small so that it's easier to actually believe it when it happens. And then you're going to experience the results of that. And that's the best way to experience angels, is because then we really make them connect with us here in this tangible reality.
So on a daily basis, then put aside some time to commune, if you will?
You can, Hallie. Of course, that's wonderful. For me personally, I'm always in communion with these beautiful beings of love and light. I don't ever want to be separated from them. Their message to us is, we're not asking you to change for us. However, if you will just open your minds and say, show me that I have help. Help me, helpers in heaven, with whatever it is. And then we're going to experience those results. That's why they say they drafted a scientist, meaning Belinda, because I needed to experience results that they're real. My left hemisphere said, hey, prove it to me. And they did. And they continue to do that. And that's their message. Whether you believe or you don't believe, ask for help. It's so easy for human beings to believe that they are all alone. Just ask.
I like that. So you're a spiritual messenger. People can go to your website, which we're going to give at the end of the show. They can have, I guess, meetings with you and that kind of thing. Let's do a little bit more here. See what you can do here. Who else is out there in my realm? So people understand what it is that you actually do.
So, Hallie, the first thing that if you were coming to me for a session, I would say, is there any area in your life where you feel that you could benefit from some help from heaven? So is there any area in particular for you?
Oh, I have a thousand. always. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm a workaholic and you know, like a work like a dog, I guess, get this show where we want this to go. And I guess, you know, how do we do that? How do we my team of people, you know, we all have a goal to get the messages out there so that we can bring people like you to our audience. That's not a question, I suspect, but
that's perfect.
Okay.
They love that. So this is your committee that is coming through. So it's a mixture of guides, and the 12 archangels are here. And what they say to you is, Hallie, it's so essential that you fill up with divine love energy, because what you are asking to be is a positive magnetic force, so that your heart magnet is pulling in to you for your show the resources that you need. In order to facilitate that, what we ask of you is that you stand in the fountain of divine love in whatever way works. See that white gold light or that rainbow flow into every cell of you, filling you up with beautiful love energy, vitality, abundance, positive magnetic force, and confidence that, yes, of course, you're supported and your show is on the right track. And as you do that, Hallie, they say, as you just close your eyes and you breathe and you say, fill me up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, helpers in heaven, for filling me with love. And then your next step is to just say, thank you for bringing into your reality whatever it is that you need. So if you need listeners, if you need sponsors, if you need guests, whatever it is that you need, you start it with thank you. Thank you, my committee, for bringing this into my reality effortlessly, because I am tired and I'm finally surrendering to your support. They hope that makes you laugh. They say that, you know, you are incredibly independent. So if there's anything they can let you know, it's to let you know that you actually really do have a team that wants to help you.
So interesting, isn't it? I mean, oh my gosh, because at the core of all of this, Belinda, is love. If you send out loving vibrations, you get love back. You send out negative vibrations, you get negative back. And what is the hardest thing in all of this, and which is why I wish people could have their angel just sitting and looking on their shoulder and just like nudging them every time they get off track, you know, stop with this, you know, stop with the anger, stop with the fear, just get to the love. I mean, wouldn't life just be so much easier if we could always just walk in that love?
Well, they say that we actually never leave the love, and that's part of the illusion. We are always in the love, but that, you know, again, it's to take a deep breath and ask to be filled with love, respect, gratitude, compassion, and understanding for yourself. It's very, very, very powerful, because what puts us in a bad mood is when that little child within us just feels abandoned and neglected. And so, you know, from the angel's perspective, we have a lot of unhappy, angry children running around on planet Earth that just really need to remember to breathe and let the love come in, because it's all around us.
Well, we're all moving very, very fast. I'm glad that we're on this subject because I really do want to talk to you about this. The world just seems so out of sorts these days. All anger, all hate, all separation, so much turmoil, too much separation. I don't know about you, but I'm worried about humanity, and I'm wondering what the 12 archangels have to offer us on this.
So their message is that this is a purging time, and this time is not going to last. But as we explain to you about the subconscious and the past, that sludge in the bottom of the glass of humanity is actually working like a volcano. It is rising up from the depths so that it can come out to the love light of the Creator and be transformed. Do not lose your faith. Do not lose your faith in love, because love is the greatest power. But the darkness must come out into the light for the light to illuminate the darkness. And that is what is happening. And it is transforming as fast as it possibly can. So what you can do to help and what your listeners can do to help is focus on that power of love and bring it within and honor your own emotions, whether they are negative or whether they are positive. But just if they are unhappy emotions, bring the love in there, release them, let them go, forgive, transform. And that just makes more room for love.
Heaven on earth. It's always been interesting to me, that phrase, heaven on earth. Is heaven off earth, above earth, out of earth?
No, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Heaven is not off earth. Heaven is bigger than planet earth. Heaven is infinite. But heaven is a vibration. It's a vibration where only love exists, where there is no fear, there is no separation, there are no vestiges of fear, such again as guilt or hatred or violence or suffering. There is none of that, because there is only love. So the bringing heaven here to earth is as simple as shifting the vibration. Where there is fear, it's like lead. We can turn it into gold with just working with the power of love and our intention. We create like our Creator. We have that power all the time.
We got lots of hope, lots of possibility. Last word from the archangels to all of us listening.
We thank you for being courageous, and we thank you for being willing to open your eyes and have a different perspective. Bring the shadow into the light and choose love. Love yourselves. If you have never, ever loved yourselves before, this is what helps us and helps your Creator to create a new planet, a new school of joy and peace and love for all concerned.
I've been speaking with Belinda Womack. Belinda Womack is the author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. To learn more about Belinda, sample her online and audio classes, or schedule a private session with her. Visit BelindaWomack.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Hallie Cancer Jane Show, a production of RESAC LLC. Associate producer, Suzanne Probst. Music by Tony Rizzo.